This is exclusive access into the heart of racing. The Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
And it is great to have, once again, back in the Inner Sanctum, the chairman of the VRC, Amanda Elliott, who is very excited because we are back with Group 1 racing at Fabulous Flemington on Saturday with the Black Caviar Lightning Stakes. Amanda, how are you?
Very well indeed. Thank you, Michael. It's lovely to be here. This is the first time in this year, I think.
Yes, that's exactly
2019.
Right.
2019, we're already halfway through February. It's extraordinary.
Unbelievable. But the good horses are back.
The good horses are back, absolutely. The heart beats a little quicker, I think, don't you?
Absolutely. And Saturday, having a look at the nominations, we'll get the final fields through in around about 20 minutes. It's going to be a stellar day. And I like the initiative that we are moving forward and planning for possible Twilight Racing, because the announcement's been made that you're going to have a couple of trials on after the last.
Yes, we are.
Which will give the race goers something to have a look at. But more importantly, it'll give yourself and the jockeys an idea about whether actual Twilight Racing is feasible.
Yes. We're really excited, actually, to see how this goes. I think the first one's at 10 past 7 and the second one's at 20 to 8 or something. So we actually have a liquor licence till 8 o'clock in the roof garden these days.
Oh,
so
that's
very nice with a little bevy, Michael, on the roof on a spectacular Monday evening to watch a couple of jump outs down the straight.
And the jockeys are keen to explore this
opportunity? Jockeys are very keen to explore this. Damien Oliver and Damien Lane and others came to Flemington. And actually, it was sort of their suggestion, you know, if we're thinking about these wonderful two new Twilight meetings next season, and we're also thinking about Oaks Day, let's see how it goes at this time of the year with a Twilight trial.
So from the research you've done, will there be much difference to where the sun is at that time of night, this time of year?
Well, we don't think so, and it's all, and that's what this is about. But of course, you know, it changes every day. But we'll have a look at that. We can completely map where the sun is. Mm. We just want to see how it feels, how it looks, and what the jockeys think of it.
Because that's pretty much the one sticking point, or the issue is that possible glare in the jockey's eyes.
Yes.
As they're coming into the straight.
Yes.
As the sun sets.
Yes, yes. So
outside of that, has there been great response from the Racing Victoria and
yes,
I suppose partners?
Everyone is interested, I think. You know, I mean, there are a lot of different things happening at Flemington these days. Innovation's a very important word for the whole racing industry. As I've said to you before, maintaining relevance is terribly important for all of us. And we need to be a bit agile, you know. We need to think about things differently. We've got this absolutely extraordinary precinct with the ability to do just about anything. So let's try it.
And that is what is most exciting moving forward. Before we look at some of those, going back last year, the opening of the grandstand, the Spring Carnival, you've no doubt done all of the reports. How did it all come through?
Oh, look, you know, by any measure, it was really an incredible year for the VRC last year. In the big picture, we realised all sorts of things. Obviously, the opening of the new stand was a central theme to last year. The media rights deal, the 5,000 new members, all sorts of things. I mean, it was just an incredible year. All the new ways we've enhanced customers' experience and that sort of thing. The Carnival Cup Week itself shot the lights out in terms of NPS scores, which is a measure by which our partners and our customers measure their satisfaction with Flemington and the VRC. We were terribly pleased with all of that. Bodes well for the future. So 2018, you know, to the racing, the celebration of the 25th anniversary of Vintage Crop being the first international winner, moving on to Cross Counter becoming the first British winner, in fact, the British trifecta. Just extraordinary. You know, it was a great year. It was an absolutely jam-packed year. You know, Neil and the team did an amazing job. Liam, the new track manager. I mean, there'd been a lot of changes at Flemington over the last couple of years, and they're all sort of proving very, very positive moves.
It's been a great platform, no doubt, for even more advancement in the coming 12 months. And we'd talk about the Twilights, which is a new phase.
Yes.
And after last year's Spring Carnival, we did speak about possibility of a smaller and later start on Oaks Day. Is that something that's still well and truly on the agenda?
Oh, yes. There's a very big team at the VRC working on the whole Oaks Days thing. And again, I say it's not about anything being wrong. It's about making everything better and different and fresh and relevant. So a very big team working on that. All the departments of the VRC, lists of pros and cons. And the Twilight Jump Outs will be an interesting part of that landscape as well.
If they go well and it appears that the sun setting is not an issue, would you envisage we could have a Twilight Oaks this year?
Well, I'm not going to say that yet until I see, if all the planets aligned, and there's all sorts of considerations as well, like a lot of our partners and the birdcage and everything, it's all about lunch. But that's not insoluble. I mean, we can do the most beautiful lunch and start racing after lunch. There's all sorts of plans in place to rejig that day. But as I say, all the considerations from all across the VRC have to be in line for that to happen. But I'm very optimistic,
And Neil and yourself have spoken in the past about the lights for possible straight racing.
Yes.
That's still progressing?
Yes.
What's a timeline we may have?
Oh, that'd be probably 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, that'd be probably 2 years. But you know, it's so exciting, the VRC at the moment in Flemington. I mean, as you know, part of last year was global relationships as well, and our global expansion, which is going ahead in leaps and bounds. The tour was overseas last year in Europe, in Ireland and England. And the awareness of the Melbourne Cup as a race itself is one thing, but actually the VRC awareness is another thing. The brand of the VRC is sort of becoming bigger than racing in many ways. And, you know, in this Channel 10 deal with this cross promotion and integration across a calendar year is proof of that, with fashion and food and everything else. So we're very, very excited about this global partnerships that we have. You know, we've got World Horse Racing. We've got that amazing lunch we have in London on the eve of the royal meeting. It's fantastic. Our global relationships are very important to us now.
You mentioned that brand, and there's been a lot of talk about the brand of horse racing with what's occurred with Darren Weir in the past week and a half. Is that concerning to yourself and the VRC? And do you think it has done much damage?
Of course, it's concerning to all of us when anything like this happens. For the VRC, for me personally, I felt all the same emotions that everybody else felt, you know, shocked, sad, horrified, frustrated, and just the big question why. Moving on from that, and I think RV have done a great job. Brian Kruger talking about the prevention of these things, that's really important. The ripple effect. Of course, there's a ripple effect. There is brand damage to racing. So the challenge is to make sure that as far as possible, these things don't happen. And if they do, that they are confined to a very small part of our industry. You know, there are all sorts of ideas about the prevention. I mean, and I've heard it, everyone's commentary. I mean, 900 trainers. I was stunned to understand there were 900 trainers.
You think we've got too many trainers?
I do. I mean, I do. It just seems an extraordinary amount of trainers. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of work done around is that the right number? And I'll be happy to see the data that sits behind what is the right number. But I think there's got to be some measures. You know, there's got to be, in any profession, there are measures and there are accountabilities for even taking out a licence, let alone holding one and, you know, sort of reaching some pretty firm KPIs that can be measured, whether it's the ability to run your business or your business structure. I mean, I think that's one part of it. I think the other part of it is making sure there's some work-life balance. And that's not just to the trainers, that's to the staff as well. I mean, if you are getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning and basically leading a sort of troglodyte's life because you don't, you know, you have to go to bed so early in order to get up that early, and for the jockeys, they're permanently hungry and all that sort of thing. I mean, I think there's got to be some adjustment to the career of anyone attached to horse racing. I'm, as you know, very, very keen on this Oakland's sort of northern training
center, complex, a centre
where you can set up the most amazing, world's best centre for people that draw people to a career that has a work-life balance that's absolutely commensurate with anyone in any job. And it also creates a sort of community atmosphere where everyone's using the same, whether it's the treadmills or the pools or whatever, and it sort of becomes self-regulating and everybody knows everybody well, and you have these wonderful sort of common rooms or whatever where people can play games or meet with each other or have coffees. I don't know. I just think it's got to be a different world for our trainers. It's got to be a world where high standards are not only expected but are part of their DNA as well. So, you know, and I think the pressure of the prize money and the pressure. Syndicates are great on the one hand for Australian racing, but you've got to think on the other hand, there are thousands of people putting so much pressure on one person who is training their horse to return some kind of experience, whether it be in a financial return on their investment or some huge living the dream. I mean, when I think about that sort of pressure on a person with a big numbers of horses and that sort of thing, I think it's worse than being an AFL footy coach, and I used to think that was probably the worst, you know, most pressurised career you could be in.
Well, I suppose the question is, how do you make that a reality? How do you make that come to fruition? Because I know that's what your vision is to use the future fund money that is sitting there at Racing Victoria to buy a huge parcel of land. Training ends at Flemington in 5 to 10 years. It ends at Caulfield in 5 years, and have a world-class training facility that can house, I don't know, 50 to 100 trainers and the horses all under the one precinct. Now,
yes, I do. But
what's Racing Victoria's response
to that
vision?
But it's for lots of reasons. Quite apart from that, it's about the welfare of the horses as well. I mean, having the ability for horses to live in day paddocks as well as boxes, having the wonderful facilities you can have there. And I don't want to hijack our discussion by talking about this because it is a sort of future thing. And Racing Victoria are very interested. They are obviously under Brian Kruger and the new board there, they are really leaning in on innovation. And, you know, it sort of, I suppose, leads us to a discussion about the relationships in the Victorian industry. I think they're at a very good place. I think Racing Victoria has demonstrated how good they are at integrity, what an excellent job Jamie Steer and the team did over handling what was really the biggest sort of, I hate to use the word scandal, but I guess it was. And I thought they did a magnificent job. I really did. And I would love to see the relationships between the five partners in the Victoria racing landscape, which is RV, VRC, MRC, Moonee Valley, Country, who are all connected and who are equal partners in this industry of ours, have a slightly different way of operating. And I think the relationships
with... Is that
with
more unity, you're saying?
Oh, no, the unity is fantastic and the relationships are fantastic. I don't think they've been as good as this for a very long time. The clubs are completely united and are working collaboratively together. And we have a new RV board under Brian Kruger and Rowan Craigie and Mike Hurst and others who want to clarify the roles of these five partners. We are always compared to New South Wales. You're not comparing apples and apples. New South Wales has a centralised model where that central body under Volandis makes all the decisions for everybody and everybody just sort of turns up. Victoria has this completely different landscape, and it always has, where it has three really strong metropolitan clubs and a really strong country division as well, who all have very different brands, very different businesses, and are celebrated because of their differences. And each of those partners in this Victorian wonderful jurisdiction of ours is dying to get on and grow their businesses, both racing and non-racing, in their individual ways. And I think that the conversation that we're having with Racing Victoria is about clarifying that and celebrating that. And we want Racing Victoria to be the absolute heroes in providing that platform of integrity, of governance, of welfare, both equine and human, and having those all important conversations with government, which clearly they've done well as well, because we've had this wonderful injection for prize money. But, you know, we'd love that to be their job, and which it is.
And promotion and advertising the behest of the individual clubs, is that?
Yes.
Yep.
And I think, you know, and I think the ability to be resourced a little differently financially in order for each of these clubs to grow individually. And that's the conversation we're having. And as I say, you know, Racing Victoria, it's a different world, and we all need to be a little agile in that space, including the industry, government, as well as the clubs.
A couple of quick ones as well. All-Star Mile has been controversial in its inaugural year. Everyone would be wrapped with 100,000 votes, but you get to hold it for the first year. Is there any, I suppose, uneasiness about what the quality of the field may be with the way the voting sits at this point in time?
I think that it'd be fair to say that the rating of 70 has probably shone a light on that could be a problem. You know, it's the first year. It's a very interesting concept. It's a popular concept. And we need to tweak it, probably. And I think that'll be done, it'll be done probably in a rating, in a horse rating sense, and probably should be. I mean, if you're gonna commit $15 million of industry money over 3 years, you want to be pretty sure that you're going to get it right, you know. And obviously, we're very excited. You know, the first iteration of this is at Flemington, and we've got all sorts of plans that are going to be very exciting for that. But the race itself is pretty important, particularly for $5 million and spruiking it, you know, obviously, as the richest mile race on turf. We want to make pretty sure that it reaches some fairly good levels.
The field matches, exactly. Yes. I think most people concur with that. It's a great idea, great concept, but maybe some tweaks in the next year. A couple of SMSs coming through. Someone here saying that Re Oaks Day what about working on getting better quality races and horses on the day? Because the other three legs obviously have high quality. And I think that's what you were talking about last year, about maybe the reduction in the number of races and making them higher quality races. Is that what the look is?
That is exactly. That is exactly what we're attempting to do. Absolutely.
And there's an SMS here, which is, I wanted to bring this up, but once again, can you ask Amanda, can we have... the trial vision on racing.com. And we had the jump out vision. We had a chat with James Cummings last Friday. He was at the Flemington Jump Out.
Yes, he was.
In the middle of that interview, he was saying, gee, it'd be great if we could get a race caller to call these jump outs. And I think a lot of punters out there would concur that the jump outs, not just at Flemington, but all the metro jump outs that we get to see, and even the provincial, it would be great if we had voice on those, and they were embedded in racing.com. So from the VRC's point of view, is that something that you want?
Absolutely. I mean, we have no problem with that. In fact, you know, if I go along to watch my horse jump out anywhere, I would love it to be called by a race caller, because it's pretty difficult to pick them up unless you do. And in terms of, we've never been asked, to my knowledge, if it was okay to do that. We would love racing.com to show the vision and have a caller there. We would absolutely love it. I think it would be a great advantage to everyone in the racing industry.
Well, we might follow that up. And I know, like Benny Small, who works at Moonee Valley, he is a young up-and-coming caller. It's a great opportunity for the young callers to come through as well. And if we could get the trials and the jump out somehow embedded in the racing.com form, it would make those doing the forms' lives a hell of a lot easier and better.
Well, I'm not sure why we don't. I mean, I'm not sure. I, to my knowledge, we've never been asked. If we were asked, it'd be a great big yes, because it's of benefit. I'm not sure what the impediments are to that. I don't think there are any.
Well, that's good. We'll get the ball rolling on that. And Amanda, just quickly before I let you go, we had Joe McGrath in the studio last week talking that tenders are open for this year's Melbourne Cup Tour.
Yes.
Now, have you got any insight into where we may be going? Is there a headline act? And for those who are wanting to get their tenders in, how long have they got?
There is always a headline act, because every community, we always get double the amount of submissions that we can handle, because every community loves the ability to have the cup, because they do all sorts of activities around it and raise all those funds. Now, the mechanics around the cup, I think it's... May? Is it April?
May. We'll clarify.
I should know that. I should know that.
A question without notice.
A question without notice. I should know that. But I know that there's, you know, sort of 8 weeks or whatever it is, and everyone writes these wonderful submissions and they get judged. Of course, it'll be going overseas again. That's another story. We're developing that at the moment. So you'll love that. Valentine's Day.
You've got a members grandstand function haven't you?
We have. So members and non-members. The club stand is about members and non-members these days. We've had wonderful sort of feedback on that, obviously. We've got a beautiful dinner that I'm sure you're taking Jackie to in the Barley restaurant. Five courses, Michael. You won't have to eat for a week. And then we've got a non-members, as well as members if they want to, function on the roof garden, Steal My Heart singles party.
Oh, I know who will be there.
Oh, my goodness. Who I believe it's his big birthday
Someone
tomorrow.
Someone turns 50 on Valentine's Day this year, and he is super single, so that might be the
Well,
place.
It's always been a bit unofficial, the sort of Steal My Heart on race day, so we're putting a bit of framework around that for Valentine's Day.
We might get Maddie Stewart to work on that. Amanda, as always, great to get you in. Lots of ideas, lots of thought-provoking ideas as always, and we will follow that up. But I'll see you out there on Saturday. Can't wait for the Black Caviar Lightning on Saturday.
Look forward to it, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Amanda Elliott, the chairman of the VRC.